Well, a beautiful Friday in Montana, and welcome to Voices of Montana. I'm Steve Arviscale, your guest host. Oh, we're going to talk. I know we've talked about this topic a lot, but I'm going to dive a little deeper with some expertise. We're going to talk about AI because it's generating excitement for some, but confusion and fear for others. And the whole AI thing is kind of folded into our data center debate that's going on throughout the state of Montana. We even had the Pope write a papal white paper about AI and its influence on the world and humanity. We might touch on that a little bit. We have to be careful what we say in response to the Pope. I'll be careful about that. But at this time, AI is driving new business growth as well. You've seen some stocks grow 100, 300, even 700%. Some people are predicting we haven't yet to see the explosion in our economy and business growth and wealth that will come from AI. Well, today we're going to try and make sense of all of that with two experts, and we're going to talk to them about, does AI work for Montana? Today on Voices of Montana. For those of you who are a little older like me, I want you to put your memory cap on. Remember the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey? They had a computer that, Jonna's shaking her head in studio. No, Steve, I don't remember anything from 1968. Well, of course you don't. But for those of you who do, remember the scene where the computer named Hal was taking over the spaceship. And there's that scene where Dave, the astronaut, says, Hal, open the bay doors.
He's outside. He's out in space.
Yes. And Hal says, well, I can't do that, Dave. Now, Dave is trying to unplug the computer, but now the computer controls everything in the spacecraft. It's just this iconic scene of man's struggle with technology. Obviously, it was a sci-fi movie from 1968. But fast forward to today, we have all this excitement going on around artificial intelligence, but a lot of worry and concern. And some people will conclude, like Dave the astronaut did, that Hal's taking over the ship. Well, we're going to figure all this out because AI can be such a valuable tool for business, healthcare, industry, personally, etc. But it also is something we need to pay attention to and understand. And that's what we're going to do today. Today, we've got Cody Rose, the founder and CEO of AI Fluency from Billings in studio. And then Ryan Morton, president and principal data scientist and engineer for Morton Analytics from Missoula. Gentlemen, welcome to Voices of Montana.
Thank you for having us, Steve. Thrilled to be on.
Now, Cody, it's so funny. Our got Cody, our producer, and then so I'm just going to say Mr. Rose.
there we go.
Don't say Mr. Ross.
And Ryan, thank you for joining us, both of you. Let's flavor this conversation with giving the audience a little bit of your background. Ryan, we'll start with you. Help our audience understand where you come from, the work that you do, maybe your role in this whole world of AI.
Sure. So thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Again, my name is Ryan Morton, and I'm actually from Missoula. I grew up here, went to St. Joe's, Loyola, and graduated UM. And I have a degree in economics, which has nothing to do necessarily with AI, but I actually started work as an analyst, statistician, and progressed into building my own tools to do that sort of data work. And that sort of naturally led to machine learning models that predict events. And then now that we have these large language models to support generative AI, I've been using that as well to build tools and to do some other things along the way. I have a great deal of joy working with language models and language processing. I'm also have a keen interest in geospatial work, so working with satellite data and geospatial data to do both analysis and prediction.
And some of that, am I correct, Ryan, in saying some of that work that you do relates to crop analysis? And is some of it apply to agriculture?
Yeah, so one of my biggest clients is the USDA, and so I work with them on a variety of applications there. I've worked with their surveys, their cropland data layer, which is satellite-based crop prediction. And so I have a great deal of experience working with them, and then I'm building a product that can do similar sort of work where it uses satellite image data to predict not only crops, but predict yield for the crop over time. And so, yeah, I'm building my own tool to do the same sort of work that they spend a great deal of time working out, and I'm hoping to sell it to them one day.
My goodness.
But, you know, that's really at a high level of agriculture. It may not be the best thing to help you sort of figure out what's going on with your fields and your crops. But, you know, perhaps we could find ways to make it work for actual farmers.
Very interesting. Cody, talk to us about AI Fluency. What does your company do? And how did you come to do this work and this passion you have around AI?
Sure. So we're the AI Fluency company, and it's me and my wife, Brittany. We're based here in Montana. We're fifth generation Montanans. We help businesses train their teams to use AI well. And it starts with our free AI Fluency rubric, which has a couple dimensions, helps you kind of realize where you're at and where your organization's at. And so, yeah, we're focused on the education piece of this and just helping folks understand AI.
How did you and your wife decide this is a field that we want to help influence through your company? Where did that journey start for you?
Sure. Well, we just saw a lot of small businesses and organizations, nonprofits, really not understanding how to use AI properly and effectively. And so, you know, lots of enterprise folks are using it, these larger organizations, but I think small businesses and professionals were getting left behind. And so there was a huge gap there to go in and upskill those folks and just help them understand AI.
So both of you, Ryan, Cody, are working with businesses of various sizes throughout Montana. I would just ask this, when you show up at that front door, connect with that business, what's the usual state of the business in terms of its AI application? Are they AI ignorant and they're just starting from scratch and wondering, man, how do I use this as a tool? How can it be productive? Or are they halfway down the road and want you to fine tune? What does that really look like for the majority of businesses that you work with?
Sure. And that's a good question. And Ryan, I actually just kind of, we're working with a nonprofit on this. A lot of these engagements kind of start by us going in there and sitting with the key stakeholders, looking at their operations, their workflows, looking at their data, finding out what their pain points are, and kind of building out an AI roadmap for them, because a lot of folks don't even understand or know where to start. And so that's kind of part of our job, is to get in there, sit in front of people, look at everything, and come up with a roadmap together. We're more of a partner in this as opposed to just somebody coming in and just doing a task. And so, just getting in the room with folks and brainstorming together is how we go about it.
Ryan, what's that encounter look like for you as you reach out to work with Montana businesses?
Well, I find that people are in one of two states. One, they consider AI to just be chat, right? They go to the computer and they type stuff at it, and then it appears to type stuff back, right? And that's actually a good place to start, because there's some curiosity. They're thinking about it, but, you know, like Cody said, they don't necessarily know where to really start or what they need to do to get to a place where their business is actually running on AI or augmented by AI. The other state that I find people are in is they think it's just magic, right?
I think. Yeah.
You know, you show up and they're expecting, you know, you to show them magic, and they don't realize that there's methods, there's things to think about, there's constraints. And you really need to have a plan. And so, you know, for those folks, it's pretty eye-opening for them to see, you know, all the considerations that they have to make, and just to even get a plan and then to put something actually in place. So I think either way is probably okay for me, but it is interesting to see the two different paths people are sort of on until they get some support to really see what they need to do.
So where do you think, if you were to give Montana businesses a grade, you know, where on a scale from, you know, 1 to 10, 10 being they're all in on AI. It's a functional tool for where their business is going, and it's dynamic in nature because they're adapting to it and responding with it. That's 10. 1 being I know nothing and don't want to know. Where do you think most of our businesses are on that scale? Cody?
I would probably say, you know, I would say a 7. People are really excited about it. Folks just need guidance, but it's exciting to see kind of the tech advocacy here in Montana. A lot of folks are going to harness AI and use it for their organizations and grow. And so it's exciting, but I'd say a 7, Steve.
A 7. Okay. Ryan, how about you?
I'd say the readiness is probably a 7. And then, you know, I think the execution is probably closer to a 4 or 5 for a lot of folks.
There's
a ways to go. And especially for the younger folks that are sort of coming along to sort of use things, because it, you know, they have a great deal of familiarity with the technology and tools and coming into the workplace. So they, you know, the systems and processes of existing businesses may not meet the expectation of those folks. So it creates a little bit of friction, but, you know, like Cody says, with a good plan and some guidance, you can really sort of blow through that, because, you know, I think people are ready to go and they want to embrace things like this. And Montana is situated where, you know, this is something that can bring in a lot of money to the state, and, you know, using remote work and building products that can ship around the world. I mean, the opportunity is pretty great. And I think if people convert that readiness into actual execution, I think you're going to see a lot of businesses grow from this.
So is it fair to say that AI is already influencing Montana's economy and our economic growth, and we're just scratching the surface of where that growth and the influence of AI and that, is that a fair statement? Ryan?
Yeah, I think that's true for pretty much everyone. I mean, even when I work with large enterprises and see what they're doing, I mean, they actually have to track people's behavior on usage of AI, because not everyone's embracing it at work. And so they put a lot of pressure on folks to use the technology in many of those larger organizations. And that's across the U.S. So it's not just Montana. And I think another good signal for me is that at the College of Business here at the University of Montana, they've gone all in on AI and using AI-first education. So I think they're working through tools on how to incorporate this into the business professionals of the future. And I think we're going to see a tidal wave here pretty soon.
So I know both of you are working on, I think I'm describing them right, to say AI fluency expert panels. And you have these panels that travel the state. I think you just had one in buildings a couple of nights ago, Cody. And what's the goal of those panel discussions and dialogue around AI? What do you hope to get from those?
Yeah, sure. So they've been really exciting so far. We had one in Bozeman about 2 months ago. We had Billings 2 days ago. And then we're up in Missoula here in the fall. And the whole goal is just to have an open conversation about AI. I want people to ask all sorts of questions. There's no agenda behind them. We're not selling a tool or anything. It's just a totally free for the community to come in, and we just talk about AI fluency, which is how you utilize these tools and use them well and effectively. And so it's just a nice, free, open space for the community to come in and talk about AI and learn a little bit as well.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Montana. Steve Arviscal, your guest host. We're having a fun, vigorous, interesting conversation around artificial intelligence. Let me spit that out. Artificial intelligence. We're talking to Ryan Morton with Morton Analytics and Cody Rose with AI Fluency. Gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on Voices of Montana. We talked about some of the basic applications and things that you're seeing with businesses, and the opportunities that are expressed in that tool, using that tool to help businesses grow. And you really both express kind of this economic opportunity that Montana has as we embrace AI. But there are uncertainties around that. So first of all, let's connect the dots. What is the link between data center development and AI. Just make that really clear for all of us so we've got that out. And then I want to talk to you about some other concerns we're hearing. What's that link, Cody?
I think, well, you know, the concerns about data centers are valid, you know, whether it's the energy consumption, kind of where they go, and how they're positioned here in Montana. I'm not as familiar with necessarily how they work, so that might be a better question kind of for Ryan. But what I will say is, you know, AI is kind of inevitable, and I want Montana to be on the forefront of it. With that being said, you know, I'm not necessarily advocating for these data centers, but I do know they're, you know, we must have them. Now, how we go about it is kind of a different story, I would say.
Ryan, your thoughts on that? I know you have background in helping develop infrastructure that supports this technology. What's that? Clarify that link for us.
Sure. So when we talk about AI, one of the things that we have to consider is that it is not something that just kind of appears. It's something that has to be made. And so the way that we make it is we take examples of how text or, you know, computer code or art or poetry, whatever it is, and you have to take those examples and use it to train a model or an algorithm to generate and produce that same sort of text. And so what the data centers provide are a place to both process this information and a place to store all of the information that needs to be both trained and then scored. And so for training purposes, these models require massive amounts of information or data to train the model. And so, for example, you know, I did a project for a client once to classify all of the websites on what's called the Common Crawler data set. And with the Common Crawler data set is 3 billion websites, basically. And it's just sort of stored out in the internet. You can go download it and do whatever it is that you're going to do with it. And, you know, that takes an incredible amount of processing power. And it also requires a great deal of memory. And so what the data centers provide is a place to do both a place to store that data, process the data that is needed to train the model, and then also to process the text that's coming in through our chat interfaces, you know, one chat at a time, one prompt at a time, and that just requires a great deal of resources. And so that to me is the connection. But, you know, not all data centers are built the same. And, you know, there are providers out there that are not going to take on a community's resources to the point where it can't sustain itself. And, you know, we focus on the ones that are maybe threatening certain communities or taking advantage of low land prices or resource prices. And that's not all that's out there. So, you know, if this is something that you're interested in, you know, I would look into other types of providers that you can either work with or support financially in one way or the other, because they're open to not just large enterprises. They'd be open to working with small mom and pop shops as well. And they're just your community neighbors, just like you, just like anyone else. And they're not some far off multinational corporation putting in a big enormous, you know, building that's
right,
bit scary.
We've had conversations on Voices of Montana about the data center development in the state. And I think part of the debate that we're having centers around, do we have the resources and infrastructure in place to support that, but also affordably support our basic needs for other business growth, our home, energy, et cetera, et cetera. That creating that balance and working with the right companies makes absolute sense. Beyond that, as we get into the stars now and this tool called AI, people are now coming forward and starting to say, ooh, are there safeguards around this tool? You had the Pope Leo did a what I call a white paper. It's called Magnifica Humanitas. And Pope Leo on the safeguarding the human person in a time of artificial intelligence. I've just gone through the introduction. I'm not going to read all those parts and pieces, but basically the Pope is saying, wait a minute, do we know enough about this technology? Are there safeguards in place? Do we have Have we figured out what it's capable of enough to safeguard our humanity in the, at the same time? And I think the Pope recognizes the value proposition between innovation and technology, not putting words in the Pope's mouth. You shouldn't do that. But also the fears that are out there. And so some people are viewing the Pope's message as, oh my gosh, he just fed more fear in this whole dialogue around AI. Cody, what's your thought on, not to put you at odds with the Pope, but what's your what's your thought around these concerns at coming at us from a really high level around AI?
Sure. So first off, you know, I definitely respect those concerns, and they're valid. I think it goes back to kind of how you use this technology and how well you understand it. I would suggest everybody to maybe read, it's a book called The AI-Driven Leader, and it talks about how you're in charge of the AI. You know, you're driving the vehicle, the AI is riding shotgun, and so it just doesn't necessarily, you know, take over your life or your business. You are still in control, and so I would definitely suggest kind of reading that book. It kind of does a good job of summing up, the capabilities and how you can harness them as well.
Ryan, any thoughts on the uncertainties that we're hearing around AI?
Sure. So this is actually not a new discussion for me. You know, when we're talking about anything that does prediction, we have to talk about ethics and safety. And so that would be true whether you're using a generative AI model or you're just trying to do, you know, a simple weather forecast, right?
Yeah.
Like there are ethics and safety measures that you need to think about, talk about, and utilize when you're doing that sort of work. So, you know, to me, this is a longstanding requirement of using these sorts of tools, is that you do need to put safety guards around them. You need to expect companies to put safety guards around them. And just remember that, like, it's language, and they're language models. And everything that language is, these models can be. And so, you know, if you think about it that way, you know, you really have to sort of think about the best way to use it. And, you know, if you can get some guidance somewhere, you know, educate yourself a little bit about a good way to use it, I think you'll find that the safety and the ethics come right along, because most people want to use technology to better their lives. They don't want something that's going to make it worse. So I think this is a good discussion. We definitely do need to think about it and use it, but we also have the tools to sort of put it into place. We're
right.
Just putting it into place in something new.
Right. I know the Montana School Board Association is now putting out some guidance for local school districts in Montana to develop AI policy guidelines at the school district level. When we come back, I want to talk to you guys about if you're consulting for a school district board, what guidance might you give them as AI experts to help craft that policy? Well, hi, everybody. This is Steve Arviscow. I'm a guest host for Tom. Tom will be back on Monday, and so you'll have a chance to engage with him. Thank you for listening to Voices of Montana. I am honored to have Cody Rose with AI Fluency in studio and Ryan Morton of Morton Analytics joining us on the line from Missoula. Gentlemen, thank you for helping educate this dialogue around artificial intelligence. I was teasing about playing up the 2001 Space Odyssey scenario with HAL, the computer controlling the bay door. I was only teasing, but I may be teasing, but other people have that kind of concern, like our computers taking things over, and should I be concerned about where it might be headed? I can tell you I have used some artificial intelligence tools. Here's an example. I was writing a message for our church that I had to deliver, and I did all the research myself, put this beautiful 5-page message together in my church congregation that I go to know when I speak it's going to be a little bit long. And when I finished writing that, I got prompted at the end of the document, said, hey, would you like to create a summary of the message that you just put together? And I thought, should I do that? I said, what the heck? Click. And out comes a 1-page, 3-paragraph, beautiful summary of my 6-page message. And I didn't share the summary, just for disclosure. So if you're at church that day and you heard Steve share the message. It wasn't AI generated, but I kept the summary because the summary was great. And it was took every all of my thoughts and made them real concise, and the scripture, other things that I use. So there are, and that's just a fundamental tool. I know there's much stronger models that and tools that can be used in that, but that's a practical example. We have students, though, who are engaging in the classroom, and AI is like on the one shoulder, and then there's another character on another shoulder saying, hey, take a shortcut, maybe use that. And that whole system is having to respond, our whole education system, at multiple levels. Well, how's that tool work? The Montana School Districts Association is providing guidance to local school districts around policies for AI in the classroom. So, Cody, Ryan, we'll start with you. Give those school districts your best guidance. What safeguards need to be in place from your perspective so that that learning experience in the classroom still makes sense? Technology can be a part of that experience, but not dominate the experience. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing that I would recommend is to have a clear mental model on what you want to accomplish. Like, to me, AI can be a great teaching assistant. And if you look at it as a teaching assistant, then it becomes a little bit more clear what you should sort of do around it. And one of the things that I would recommend is have a policy around the what can be used in the classroom. Are you going to use a provider that's outsourced somewhere else? Are you going to use a provider that you're going to host yourself? Like, actually make it a decision on what people are going to use and get everyone to use it. Because the nice thing about having everything go through one provider is that you can assert your safety protocols in terms of language that can be used, questions that can be asked, topics that can be discovered. You know, the things that, you know, a policy might need to enforce is much easier to enforce when you have like a single provider, or at least a single gateway through which all of the AI work can be done. So I think that's probably the most important thing that I would recommend. You know, from there, I would say, you know, align the policy with your local values, which is what school boards do already for the curriculum. And that can mean a variety of things to, you know, the different communities. But I'd say apply the same sort of mindset you apply to the curriculum. You know, in what places does AI provide assistance? At what point does it provide like review or editing help? You know, really kind of get into the weeds of where it fits in the curriculum and give teachers the clear direction that they need to put their classes together. And I think those would be the two biggest drivers to getting a good policy in place and getting it to a place where both the teachers and the students can get the most out of it.
That's great guidance, Ryan. Cody, anything to add?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously for the education piece, it's important to, you know, to have these children start using AI, you know, fairly young so they understand it. But with that being said, it's also important to teach them that AI is not a human, you know, it's not a friend. And so I think, you know, there has to be some teaching around that, especially for, you know, grade school, middle school, even potentially high school. But just putting things into perspective that, it's not a human and it's not your friend. Because I've heard a lot of concerns coming out from, academia regarding that. So just putting things in perspective. It's a tool. It's not a person.
One thing that I found to be a very interesting trend in this context, if you followed any of the college graduation commencement addresses. So I just made a quick note, University of Arizona, University of Central Florida, University of Middle Tennessee, University of Wyoming, all of the commencement address speakers made reference to AI. And these Gen Z graduates booed the commencement speakers. In fact, the commencement speaker at Middle Tennessee State University got booed, and he stopped his conversation and pushed back and said, deal with it. You have to deal with it, which seems to be a very abrupt response. I'm not sure how the rest of that commencement address went with that kind of response. But is that where we're at? Well, two things. One, why are this new generation new college graduates are pushing back, and I have a theory on it myself, but I'm curious what you're thinking. Why that generation pushing back on a technology when they grew up with technology? And then is deal with it the response that we should have to that generation? Cody, we'll start with you.
No, that's not the response, Steve. No, that's
I'm not sure how it went for that speaker, but
yeah.
In some cases you go, well, this is where we're headed. This is the innovation. This is the new technology. You have to learn it and grow with it and lean into it. I could get that, but your thoughts.
Sure. So I think pretty much all generations are concerned about, businesses not hiring, not being able to get a job, especially, the younger generation. If you're entering the workforce now, it can be somewhat intimidating. But what I would say that let's just say you have a business, you have 100 employees. Why not hire a couple more, train the entire team using these AI tools, and so then you appear as if you're a team of 500 people. And so when businesses talk about maybe letting folks go, I disagree with that. I would want to upskill the entire organization and kind of go from there. And I would say now is the perfect opportunity to start a business. If you understand business and you kind of understand these tools, you can build a product, take it to market, and sell it yourself. And so I think now is a perfect time, frankly, to be graduating and to be diving into this new economy. But I am very sympathetic to people doing it as well, because it's a scary time. AI moves very, very quickly. But I think to alleviate some of those nerves with AI, just start using the tools. Once you start using them, you'll see that it's not as intimidating as it may appear on at first.
Ryan, why is that younger generation pushing back so hard on this technology and perhaps others? Is it just fearful for their job opportunities? Is there more to it than that?
Well, I think the job opportunities have something to do with it, because that's how it's been framed for them, right? In the popular culture, you actually see large companies where many people aspire to work claim that they are laying off thousands of people because of AI, right? That is, so to me, that framing is definitely influencing how all generations are probably thinking about it. But particularly for young people that see that many of their problems are not being addressed, and then see a technology like this be included in a narrative that is negative, I guess I can see where they're coming from. And so I kind of see it from that economic lens as well. But I also think when you consider things like data centers and sort of all of the impacts of the technology beyond the technology itself, that the way that it's being framed for them is not really positive. And that's not their fault. And it's something that the rest of us could probably work on as well. And that's why I always like to encourage people to look at the other stories that are out there, the other providers that aren't doing all of these things, people doing the right things for the right reasons, the right way. They do exist. They just don't get as much airtime.
Well, we're going to take a break here in just a second. When we come back, I want to talk about the mission that you are both on to educate Montana businesses about artificial intelligence. That's the whole fluency piece. Like, we need to understand what this means. And then I want to ask you a question to kind of fill in the blank. If there's one thing you could share with people so they understand this technology better, what would that one thing be? Well, we're about ready to wrap up a show today all about artificial intelligence. Cody Rose, founder and CEO of AI Fluency, and Ryan Morton, president and principal data scientist engineer with Morton Analytics. Gentlemen, thank you for being a part of the dialogue today. Hey, I want to ask you, if there was one thing, let's say you had the whole state of Montana and you had a microphone, you were standing in front of them and you had to just explain one thing to them, what do they need to know about AI? What would you say to them, Cody?
Sure, is that it's inevitable. And, I don't love AI, I don't hate AI, but it is here to stay. And so what I would say is kind of find your tools and dive into them. You don't need to learn every single tool. New tools come out every day. So maybe pick two or three. You could call it maybe your own tech stack and dive into those. So maybe you use, Claude and ChatGPT, and you kind of find out the differences between those. But I would say just kind of find your tech stack and just know that it's inevitable. But just diving in is the first step.
Ryan, how about you? One thing you want Montanans to understand and know about AI.
It's a powerful tool, but it needs directions to work properly. You have to give it good directions or it just won't do the things that you want it to do. And part of AI fluency is to be able to define the directions for people, for the AI to work. And learning that is a big unlock for the technology. And it helps you sort of deal with things like safety and ethics, but also performance, output, quality, all those things become better when you're more fluent in interacting and giving directions to the AI.
Gentlemen, what do you think the next steps are for you and the work that you do or all of us in educating Montana, building that fluency? I know there's some things that you've got coming up on your calendars all about building that out. So what are the next steps for you guys in helping educate Montana?
Sure. So for us, we have this AI fluency rubric, totally free. You can go to AIfluency.ai and download that and use it however you'd like. But we're actually measuring AI. And so from there, we're able to kind of train the gaps and see where people actually need the help. From then, we measure again, and we hand off an AI fluent organization. We do this quarterly as well, because AI, your knowledge and how well you use these tools, it can slip. And so, you know, we go in quarterly, and we make sure that organizations are using this effectively and efficiently as they go about their business. And so, yeah, just working with HR departments and hiring agencies to measure their AI fluency and upskill them where it's needed.
Ryan, for you, next steps in educating Montana.
Well, right now, I've been sort of pressing the boundaries of my own work to use as like a jumping off point to give people better insight and direction in terms of what they can do. So beyond just like building analytical tools and software, you know, I'm writing games, I'm writing a book, I have an executive assistant AI. You know, I have all these things sort of going on, and I'm just sort of playing with it to find those boundaries and find those good practices and deliver them to clients. So I'm much more of the practitioner here. And I like to get in and sort of help people get into the dirty details and see what works and what doesn't. And so that's really where I'm spending the most of my time, getting either clients or myself up to speed with what we can and cannot do at the boundaries.
You know, you mentioned you're writing a book. I would love to write a book. Are there AI tools that could help me write a book? Now, the content would be original, but maybe there's some assistance I can get in writing that book. Hey, you guys have some more expert panels coming up. There's a summit coming up. Cody, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So real quick, go to MontanaMTSummit.ai. Zach Rossmiller over at University of Montana is doing a fantastic job along with the other people on the planning committee, which I'm part of. Go ahead, put in your email address there, and you'll can stay up to date with certain dates and times. And yeah, looking forward to that in the fall.
Ryan, Cody, you guys have been excellent guests. Thank you for bringing your expertise to Voices of Montana, our audience today. Tom will be back next week. We're going to have a conversation around the Declaration of Independence on Voices of Montana. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.